You want a podcast? Great. So you have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
You're listening to Vandaltron's Curious World Podcast. All day, all night, baby. Check it out.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Vandaltron Curious World Podcast. The special series of stories. You know, it's weird. I try so hard to bring you guests that I think are funny and interesting, and I get a lot of feedback from you guys about the guest, and which is great, and it makes me feel great. But you guys really like these stories, which are you know, it's just me in a room, which is awesome. You know, I guess you know, you never know what people like. But anyway, I appreciate you guys just hanging in there and just listening to you know, the stuff I have to say. And you know, I always feel like we're in this together. You know, before I get started, The other day I was in the city, and I ran into an old actor friend, and you know, she was, we were catching up, and I hadn't seen her in years. And I remember we used to run into each other in auditions, and we used to help each other getting, you know, side gigs, like waitering gigs and stuff like that. And we weren't like super tight, but we were kind of like fringe friendly, you know. Like whenever we would be working together, we'd be really cool and it'd be fun, but we never hung out after beyond that. Anyway, I thought she was really cool. I hadn't seen her in years. She's been kind of out the game, as you guys know. And I ran into her, and she's like, you know, hey, what's going on? What have you been up to? And I was, you know, it's just so hard to, because it's been like five years maybe since I've seen her. It's so hard to kind of like package all like the things you kind of went through. And you don't want to default to, oh, you know, I'm okay. I'm just chilling. So I just try to say, like, wow, you know, a lot of things have been happening for me, a lot of good things, you know. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but, you know, it's like, it's kind of weird because, you know, I feel like I'm just a different person now, but I feel like I'm better, you know, and I do this podcast and, you know, about truthful conversation, and that gives me really good reward. And she's like, yeah, whatever, I don't give a fuck. And she didn't say that, but she felt like she said that. And it just kind of launched into, you know, what she has going on in like her life. And it's just auditions, and she's up for this and that, and she's studying here. And I'm just kind of nodding my head. So I'm like, oh, okay, so you're basically doing the same shit from like 5 years ago, which is fine. It's fine. And I got the impression, you know, when I try to like wedge in a little bit about myself again, I just got the impression she was just like, oh, okay, so you basically quit. And it wasn't worth it for me to kind of say like, well, no, I mean, I just doing some other stuff. So, you know, we said goodbye and stuff. Again, it was on, you know, a street corner. So then I started thinking, like, you know, you're going to meet people in your lives based on the things that you're striving for at the moment you're striving for. You know, in high school, in Spanish class or English class or whatever, you're going to gravitate to people who are kind of on your level academically, more or less. I mean, if you don't take it seriously, why would you hang out with somebody that's like a total nerd? Well, you're not going to be in Spanish class forever, right? So I think that's kind of like life. You know, some of us get into different shit. Some of, you know, life's experiences just inform us and say like, hey, you know, maybe I want to get off this highway. Maybe I want to go on a different route. And some people kind of plunge ahead. And, you know, for me, I've been always gung-ho about the things that I wanted to do. You know, I came to New York to be in show business, to be an actor, to be to create movies. And, you know, people used to always ask me, well, what's your plan B? And I said, fuck plan B. I'm going to do it until I die or some stupid shit. But I look back and I think, like, man, I really didn't know what I was doing. Because what I've learned, and man, I learned this the hard way, there's a difference between inspiration and purpose. So I had a lot of inspiration. You know, I don't want to just be famous. I want to be really good at my craft. That's a lot of inspiration. Purpose for me is, well, why the fuck are you doing it? You know, what is it about you? And I never really took the time to do the work of who I am, because I was really fucked up. Not fucked up. I didn't know who I was. And it was so reflective on the decisions that I made and the people that I dated. You know, there was a pattern of when I, you know, the people, you know, I get into these relationships. I was very charming and funny because I felt like it was a character. And then once we started dating, all that kind of washed away and I just kind of became like a pleaser. I just wanted to please the person what I was with. And in hindsight, well, when they ended up badly, I used to think like, well, you know, oh, she's a bitch. Maybe. Or maybe you're just not, what you're presenting aren't the goods. You know, you have to always keep pushing yourself for yourself. But, you know, especially if you're going to be with somebody, you know, I think we're with people because of the promise of the premise. You know, who's this person now, and how far are they from where they're going to be? And I think for me, I didn't want to work on myself. I just wanted to help other people, the girls that I were dating. Because if I did that and I got that gratification of the thank you, then that was kind of like a hitter, and I didn't have to work on myself. So, you know, what I learned is, you know, you really have to ask yourself those questions. You know, why am I doing this? You know, why do I really want to do this? And what is it about me? Like, who am I that wants to do this? And if you take it away, who are you? You know, look at athletes. A lot of them retire and then they have to come back. A lot of them have to come back because they're broke. I'm talking mainly of like fighters. But they come back because they don't really have anything else going on in their life, because they miss the pageantries. They miss who they were for so many years of training. So what I learned is that's deadly to not know who you are, but also failure. We're so afraid of failure. I know I was terrified of being a failure. Not so much now. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to be considered a failure. Like, oh, dude, I'm a loser. But maybe failure is different. The definition is different for me than it was years ago. You know, failure for me used to be that, okay, well, somebody that doesn't have XYZ going on in their life, things that are tangible that you can point to. But, you know, that can be really stifling. You know, that can handicap you to try things. I think failure, there's a lot of humility that comes with failure. You know, you're going to look stupid. For so long, I was curious about yoga. And I didn't want to do it because I thought, I was petrified of going into a class, not knowing what I was doing, and just looking like a fool. I don't know, it's pretty stupid, considering I go to yoga almost every day now. But if you hang on to those things, you hang on to that vanity, then do you have a low ceiling of what you can learn? So I start thinking about, you know, the friend that I ran into about, you know, where's her ceiling versus my ceiling? And not to compare, that's not what I'm trying to say. You know, she's very focused and she's putting in a lot of work for her career. But is she putting in a lot of work for herself? I don't know. You don't know because you don't know her. But I would say probably not. You know, if that's all the thing that she can talk. I mean, I really tried to steer the conversation away, and that's all she wanted to talk about. And she always wanted to talk about herself, which was kind of annoying. You know, speaking of guests, I like to consider him a friend, and he's a acquaintance slash friend. And, you know, he agreed to be on the show. He's starting to blow up. His career is starting to blow up. And he's getting mentions, and he's a comic, and, you know, he's in front of the camera, too, and on certain things. And he's agreed. And so I keep trying to schedule him, and he keeps getting bumped, and I get it. We all have busy lives. And then he sends me this email earlier this week, and he says, you know, appreciate your follow-up, but I'm going to send this to my manager, and if this is the right fit for us, then we'll do it. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? I'm like, dude, I met you, I met you at an open mic. I mean, you were hosting, right? You were featured, and I was an open micer. But we've hung out many times. This is over the span of like 2 years now. And we've been corresponding directly through text and email. And now you need to run it by your manager? Like, who the fuck? This show is not polarizing. This show is not political, or, you know, it's not about race cars. Obviously, he wants to run it by his manager to see the analytics and see, like, my reach. He's going to look at my Twitter, or he's going to look at my Instagram or whatever and see how many followers I have, which aren't many, whatever. I don't give a fuck. But I'm like, is that what we've come down to? Really? I mean, I hung out with you, dude, and that's what we're going to do now? I'm like, okay, whatever. I that's how it's going to be. All right. And I think maybe it is money. I don't know. So the story that I was kind of had in my head of like what I wanted to share with you guys today was when I went to the state fair when I was a kid. And I was in fifth or sixth grade. And man, so my friend invited me to the state fair. I was going to spend at least Friday and a Saturday, maybe the whole weekend. And, you know, my dad was like a Nazi against sleepovers. He thought that was like you're a peasant. You know, why would you sleep over somebody's house? And I tried to explain to him, it's not like I'm not like just sleeping there like in like military barracks and you know, because they're providing me shelter. It's more of like a social thing. So I don't know how I did it. I convinced him to allow me to spend, I think, the weekend, because we had to travel to my friend Mark's house to the state fair. And I knew Mark through school, but I don't think at this point I had ever like been to his house. And when you're a kid, you really gauge the world going to somebody's house. I remember, I just, because your world is just school and what's on TV and maybe some shit that your parents says. I remember when I was in the store and I saw a teacher of mine, and she was like, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" That freaked the shit out of me. I was like, "What the fuck are you doing in this? What are you doing in Food Lion? I thought you like hung upside down in the classroom until the first period came in." Anyway, so Mark's house was, he lived in this part of town that I already knew was wealthy. I mean, they had bricks and just like it wasn't gated, but it was close to being gated in Virginia. So, you know, I roll up there and everybody's super friendly, but I was actually nervous how big and like spacious his house was. You know, and I go in, you know, use the bathroom, and they got little hand towels with like little stitchings on them. I'm like, shit. In my you know, our apartment, we had a big towel and a little towel, and that was it. And then their shower curtain had a shower curtain. It was like the plastic thing, and then beyond that, it was like a velvet like cape. I was like, "What the fuck? Like, who the fuck is this?" Like, it looked like, I thought, I was like, "Is this, if I turn on the faucet, like diamonds gonna come down?" And the curtains were like that too. I looked at the curtains, and like the curtains had curtains. You had a thinner one and then a thicker one beyond that. I was like, "Fuck, man, what?" And I just remember, you know, sitting down to eat, and you know, we had a typical, you know, I think like, you know, like mashed potatoes and peas and like a pork chop or something. And their family was just super friendly to me, and you know, the nerves came, you know, settled down. I was really excited. You know, the next day we went to the state fair and saw a bunch of crazy shit. You know, saw drag racing, which was so loud. You know, a lot of dudes walking around with mullets and no shirts. But everybody was well-behaved. You know, that's a thing too, man. Like, I don't know if you all consider Virginia the South. And this is like deep, like Southern Virginia. Not that McLean near D.C. bullshit. This is real Virginia. Everybody gets along. You know, there's a lot of black people in Virginia. There's a lot of Koreans. There's a lot of, I grew up with a lot of Puerto Ricans and Mexicans. Nobody, yes, there are race fights and people will fight you because your race, but it's not constant. You're not going to the gas station and you see somebody, you see a black person, and automatically you're just like, "All right, I guess it's on now." Well, that's how the state fair was. You had some serious hardcore rednecks walking around with no shirt and overalls. They didn't give a fuck. And then you had dudes look like Biggie Smalls And they didn't give a fuck either. And just remember, you know, just walking around. Like, if we wanted cotton candy, we got it. You know, the candy apples with the peanuts around, dipped in peanuts. We got that, too. I was like, man, this is... I'm a fucking baller. This is insane. I thought Mark's family was the richest family in the world. And so, you know, we were walking around. We're having fun. It was just the time of my life, you know? I felt like, man, I don't ever want this to end. And then, you know, they then spent the night again, I guess, because we got home really late. And, oh, and another thing, too, they had a hamper, which I'd never seen before in my life. I'm not kidding. When I was growing up, we just had a dirty pile. We had a dirty pile of clothes in the closet. It's just a big pile. And, you know, my brother Neil and I would wrestle each other and we'd just throw each other onto the dirty pile. That we'd call it the dirty pile. And so they had a hamper, which is like this kind of like this wooden thing that you put the clothes in. And I was like, what the fuck? You know what you can do? I thought if I had a flute and I played the flute, like a cobra would come out of it. But, I mean, the thing was huge, and it was nice, too. It was like wood and steel. Anyway, so when I go home, you know, my dad kind of nods and said, like, oh, what, you know, did you have fun or whatever? And try to explain to him, like, what we did. You know, oh, we saw drag racing. He didn't know what that was. Ate cotton candy. He just figured, like, oh, that's bad for you. So you just saw loud cars and ate bad food. Yeah, that's all we did. And he's like, that's stupid. And I was like, and to myself, I was like, well, damn, dude. I mean, fuck you. What'd you do this weekend? But I think, you know, I realized that he was probably jealous or envious. I get those two mixed up. That here was his son, as much of a brat as I was. He probably wished that he could have done that for me, you know? We just didn't have any money. You know, I mean, my mom was and is an amazing cook. We never went hungry. We had amazing food that was, I consider, high quality. Everybody was blown away. But we also had times where, you know, we would eat Spam. And, you know, fried bologna, and you'd have to slit it down the middle so it won't dome up. And we ate hot dogs. And so I think, you know, I probably rubbed it in. I probably was just like, you know, I had so much fun with my white family. I want to go live with them. And it probably hurt him. You know, he's such a proud guy. And such a, you know, from old school. Here's this, you know, military man from another country seeing his youngest son being a dipshit eating cotton candy, this shit that looks like asbestos, and just running around at a county fair with like cars that just like have sparks in their ass. But you know, when you're a kid, that's all you know. When you're a kid, you just want what you want. You know, and you just see everything as just like, I want this, you know, I want love, you know, oh my God, Skittles, love, I get to stay up, you know, till midnight, love. But love is many things, you know, There's little love, like, you know, doing the crossword puzzle, which I fucking hate. Maybe that wasn't the best example, but I know a lot of people do. That's a little love. And then there's big love, you know, which, like, love for writing a story or your family. You know, in life, you know, there's a whole push and pull of time and money, right? But those are the only two commodities in our lives. You know, remember, like, when you had, like, your sit down with your guidance counselor and said, "What do you, if I gave you $1 million, what would you do with it?" Or what was that other question? You know, what would you do for free? You know, that's what you'll do for a living. I have no idea why I'm doing this voice, because my guidance counselor didn't talk like that. My guidance counselor was an Indian moron. Not bows and arrows Indian. I mean, this dude was like, he looked like Ziggy, but he was Indian. He was like a fat Indian dude. And if you guys remember Ziggy. Anyway, time and money. So it's like, would you have all the money in the world, but you have like this serious illness? Or would you be in good health and penniless? I mean, what good is money if you're an asshole? What good is money if you're alone and everybody hates you and you're sick? I guess you could say, like, well, I have money, I'll just, you know, get medication, I guess. But, you know, whether it's a hangover or a sprained ankle, nobody likes to be sick. I know I don't. So I think, you know, what we do in life, it's perspective. You know, when I was a kid, we were really poor, and I wanted money so bad, and I wanted things so bad. And I'm not ashamed to admit that, you know, I was a little shoplifter. I would steal all kinds of shit because I just wanted things. I think if we take the time to ask ourselves, you know, who we are and what's important right now, you know, maybe things like pride and responsibility and dignity will come up. Maybe we'll think about our parents that work nonstop for us. Maybe we'll think about a future version of ourselves, or where we were 6 months ago, no matter how old we are. See, when you're a kid, time is very strange. Time, I talked about this on the last podcast. Time can feel like forever. You know, if you're listening, if you had a broken heart, that is probably the worst. A broken heart, that time is, you know, everybody tells you this bullshit. Time heals all wounds. You'll get back out there. There's more fish in the sea. And you're just like, shut the fuck up. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to go for a jog. You don't want to watch TV. You don't want to eat. But that, because it's like you're a car and the axle's broken. So why, you can't do anything. But I think that's where it starts. I think we have to ask ourselves constantly, what's this all about? What's the meaning? What's my purpose in doing this? And it's not the prize. And that's what, you know, going back to like my days as an actor, it's not the prize. Oh, another thing too, it just reminded me. Bobby Lee was on Theo Vaughn's podcast recently, and he was talking about Peter Jackson's King Kong, how he auditioned for that. Please check out that episode. It's hilarious. But I auditioned for it too, and my audition was pretty similar. So basically, you know, what Bobby Lee said is that he came into a room and they just told him to scream. And so he said, he screamed like Asian. He's like, ah! My audition was like, you know, you start getting excited and like your, so I, you know, other friends that are other Asian guys start telling you about it, like, yo, dude, did you hear about, yeah, Peter Jackson? Yeah, yeah, you're up for it too? Yeah, I'm up for it. And so you're like, holy shit, maybe this could be it. And so you get sides. Sides are like, you know, portion of the script that you prepare for the audition. And I'm looking at mine. And it's like all dialogue from characters. And like, well, wait, where's mine? And I thought, oh, this is strange. So I call my agent and I'm like, and there, and she was like, yeah, don't worry about it. Just, I don't know. Because there was no dialogue for my character. If you've seen the movie, he's just like, well, he's the only Asian guy. But he's like, I think he's the photographer. So my audition is, I had to point to King Kong and warn the group that he's coming or that like there's impending doom. And I tried to do it as you know, I did it masculine. I did it as a migrant rice field worker. It is ridiculous. It truly was ridiculous. I was like, oh my God. And I was just like, ugh. All these years of acting training for this. Great. And then I left the room and I just looked at all the parade of, you know, guys who are most of like there, you went from like models to like comics to, and I just kept thinking like, wow. Yeah, don't hype yourself up. You're just pointing at the wall and screaming. That's all you're doing. And I think, if I remember of the movie, that's pretty much what that guy does. And I don't know that actor, and I don't know what he's been in since, but I guess he nailed it, right? I guess. Anyway. What was I saying? So, it doesn't matter your financial situation. I think we all have made kind of financial disasters to some degree. We live in a society where our value is our finances, right? That's the first thing that people kind of ask you, like, what do you do? Where do you live? Because they're basically evaluating how much respect they want to give you. Well, don't let it, all right? So it's also a lazy icebreaker, but you can own up to it, you know? I was a long time where when I was a waiter, I was frustrated and kind of ashamed to do it. And so that really reflected on how I did the job until I just kind of owned up to it. And like, hey, I'm just doing this. But like the people that I'm serving, you know, maybe they got a job too. Like we all have jobs, you know, we're just humans. So that loosened things up for me. And, you know, so I kind of articulated like, well, I'm a waiter now, but, you know, I'm aspiring to be blah, blah, blah. Now it doesn't matter. Like I'm a human being and I'm on this journey and, you know, I won't be defined by what other people see me. You know, that says more about them than me. You know, I don't know why I get on, you know, when I talk to you guys about stuff and the points that I want to make. I'm always bringing up the past when I'm young, but primarily at a certain age, like elementary school age. I don't know why I do that. I don't know why my brain goes back there. I guess because those were formidable years, but also the times where my parents were really a big part of my life. And maybe that's what I'm always trying to do in my thoughts and my actions, is try to connect back to that time in my life and their lives as well. You know, we always think that we'll have more time, but maybe we won't. I'm not talking about the people necessarily in our lives, but anything that we want to do. Time is a tricky thing because the past gives us depression and the future gives us anxiety. So it's a juggling act. You have to think about both, but more importantly, really have to, well, as the saying goes, really have to be here now. So, as July comes to a close and we welcome August and the heat, it's also my birthday, you know, and I guess maybe that's another reason why I'm reflective. I don't give a shit about my birthday. I really don't. And it's always confused me how certain people make it a huge thing. But I guess to each his own. I think, you know, whatever you guys are doing, try to find, you know, we always want to strive for that big love, but try to find the little love too. A smoothie, a call, maybe a call's too much, a text to somebody you haven't spoken to in a while. Just kind of waving to somebody sitting on their porch. And we have porches here in Brooklyn. A little love is just as important as the big love. Bodhisattva, go out and do good in the world. Thank you guys so much for listening and putting up with my nonsense. I'm just on a journey, and I'm so grateful that you're sticking around to be on this journey too. So I appreciate you, and it means the world to me that we're doing this together. Thank you.
Seems I've got to have a change of scene, 'cause every night I have the strangest dream. Prison by the way it could be, left here on my own, or so it seems. I've got to leave before I start to scream. Someone's locked the door and took the key. You're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, you're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, boy, you sure took me for one big ride, and even now I sit and wonder why. But when I think of you, I start to cry. Just can't waste my time, I must keep trying. Gotta stop believing in all your lies, 'cause there's too much to do before I die. You're feeling alright. Feeling too good myself. Well, you're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Someone comes along and takes my place.
with a different name, just a different face. You're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself.